In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a 7-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
What's up, guys? This is the Uncontested Podcast, covering the Oklahoma City Thunder. This podcast is ran by Jacob, Nick, Justin, Taylor, and Kamiar. Listen to future episodes on your favorite podcast streaming service like iTunes or Spotify, and don't forget to leave a 5-star rating.
This is Luthor. You're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up? Welcome to the Uncontested Podcast. We are a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the official podcast of BoomtownHoops.com. I'm your host, Jacob Niffen. We've got a four-way going on tonight, boys.
Oh,
I have Nick Crane along with me.
Yellow, yellow.
We've got Justin Peabody.
Hello, everybody.
We have Taylor Peterson.
How about those Chiefs?
How did I know that was coming?
We just had to take it easy.
You know, we had to let him come back a little, make him feel okay. Tom Brady's a legend. You got to take it easy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere behind Taylor, we also have Taylor's dog along with us today.
We have little Brody.
Brody.
Over, under 3.5 barks episode.
Over.
Found him.
Always you could, over.
You can make that take that over under on betonline.ag. Sponsor.
There it is. The plug.
So, gentlemen, how was Thanksgiving?
So good. I'm a passionate cranberry sauce stan. So if anybody wants to crap on cranberry sauce, you can get out.
Maybe a hot take. Thanksgiving food's not that great.
Okay.
No, I'm with you. It's all right.
All we're learning is
more of a ham guy.
Nobody in Nick and Jacob's family knows how to cook.
Okay, well, you know what? I want to give you the middle finger right now. I'll tell you what, though. Nick posted on Instagram that homemade mac and cheese.
That looked fantastic.
But see, that's not really a Thanksgiving. Like, I'm talking like the turkey, the stuffing, the cranberries, like the traditional Thanksgiving stuff. Eh.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm
with you on the eh.
We smoked the turkey this year and it was very good.
Ooh, that's solid. Oh, have you ever done fried turkey?
I have not. I've watched enough failed videos on the internet that I don't want to try a fried turkey.
It's worth it. It's so good.
Unless I went to trying to cash out with the insurance.
My Friendsgiving, we had a fried turkey and a smoked turkey.
Ooh.
That was a good little mix up.
Yeah.
Two different turkeys, one fried, one smoked, or they did one turkey both ways?
Two separate turkeys.
Okay. I would do one turkey living both ways. I think that'd be delicious.
Jacob, Kamiar is making fun of us for our boy's facial hair. Except Nick. He said, except Nick. Actually.
Well, you know what? He already said, all right, bye, dude. Guys. Love you. So bye, Kamiar. Get out of here.
Still love us.
Hey, be gone. Kevin. Be gone. Yeah, our guy Kevin McCormick.
He
our
says,
Philly guy.
Thanks again for taking Horford off our hands.
All right, guys, let's jump into some basketball stuff. If you are watching us live on the stream, please drop your questions in the chat. We will get to them as we go through. If you are listening on the podcast, thank you so much. We appreciate the hell out of you guys. First thing I wanted to talk about with you all is basketball is nearly here. We are less than 2 weeks away from the Thunder's first preseason game. We are 2 days away from camp.
Crazy.
It's almost here.
Media day tomorrow.
That's
right, Nick?
The start of media week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They still haven't really said how they're doing it. We know Presti's tomorrow. And then I assume since individual workouts are this week, they'll just have two or three guys a day kind of come in between workouts. And that's how it's going to be, which is a major letdown compared to a standard media day. But we'll take what we can get.
Nick, what's the one question you're dying to ask Alexei Pokushevsky?
Ugh. Can you speak English?
That's a good question because I don't know if he can.
I really have no clue.
Alexei, have you ever watched Pokemon?
That's a good question.
That is.
Ask him what his favorite Pokemon is.
If so, yeah, right.
Also ask him if he can say, I'm Alexei Pokushevsky. You're listening to the Uncontested Podcast. Yes. Well, catch them all.
If Lou Dort, who speaks English as a first language, can't get that straight, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say Alexei can't either.
I still stand by the fact that we should have changed our name to the Uncontested Broadcast.
Yep.
If Lou Dort said that's what we're called, that's what we're called.
Yeah, that's the word of God. It's the word of God himself. What if Lou comes back more buff?
Is that possible?
That was my question. Like, what are you going to do whenever we see pictures from camp in 2 days and Lou's like walking around with no neck, just like post NBA Mike Bibby?
I can't wait for Lou Dort and Admiral Schofield to share the floor at the same time because they have the exact same body.
Yes.
Like, it's the same frame.
I love that so much. So much girth.
I love that we have Lou and Poku on the same team. We have this dude that's just muscles on top of muscles, and then another guy that's just skin stretched tightly over bones.
Poku might be the lightest person on the team, and he's 7 feet tall.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was thinking about this, and this is taking us completely off topic, which is what I'm best at. So here we are.
Only took us 5 minutes, guys.
Let's say that he gets absorbed into the TPE of Boston, right? The player exception, the trade exception. Who plays center? You have Moose. You have, Poirier is going to be gone, right? Because he's going to be traded in the Horford trade. So you have Moose. You have Poku. I came up with one other. Plus, you have Bazley, who will play some center, small ball center minutes. But you would have like next to no center. Oh, and the guy from Gonzaga.
Vert Yurtseven, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. The guy Yurt from Seven.
He wasn't Gonzaga, was he?
I thought he was. Was he not the Gonzaga guy?
Oh, I don't know. I know that.
I can't say I'm an expert on the exhibit 10 on players. On your
side. We wouldn't have a lot of centers if they trade Horford.
That would be wild.
Yeah.
Georgetown.
Yeah. You guys got the wrong G.
I had a G. College. Close enough. Hey, like I told you guys before we started going live, I watched more college hoops probably this past 4 or 5 days, basically the day before Thanksgiving when I started watching Cade Cunningham, than I have the entire all of last season outside of TU basketball games.
It's going to be a lot of college hoops this year to watch prospects, which is something we haven't done in a while. So, all right, guys. So what else are you looking forward to? With training camp, is there anything that you're excited to see? You're anxious to see what's going to look like? I mean, obviously, it's something new for us. Ever since we've been a podcast, and really ever since this franchise has been here, we have gone into camp asking questions like, you know, who's going to be the next, you know, stand-up player? Who's going to be the role player that fills in, you know, next to Russ and KD and Paul George and Serge Ibaka and Chris Paul? How far is this team going to go? Do they have the tools to make a deep playoff run? It's a completely different question this year, something that we have never really dealt with. So what are some of the things you're looking forward to as we start to get into camp?
Who's going to be there? I mean, we have 20 spots, right? Yeah. And I think it's very certain now that OKC's waiting until December 8th. To pull the trigger on the Horford trade. Mm-hmm. So I'm super curious to see who's actually going to be showing up. I mean, you're able to bring 20 guys on. Some of those will be exhibit 10. Some of those will be minimums. And then from there, it'll be really interesting to see how Presti trims the roster to get to that 14, 15 spot roster. You know, Presti's always wanted to keep that 15th spot open going into the season for flexibility, as a lot of teams do. This could be a little different this season, as you know, obviously you're not competing for a championship or even the playoffs as much as you are tanking. So I'm really curious to see how the rosters kind of how Presti constructs it going into training camp and then also as training camp progresses.
For sure.
I'm interested in seeing how the front office pivots and adapts to the extremely shortened training camp, because there's a lot of young guys on this team that I think some of us are probably higher on than others, but you've really got, you know, 2 weeks before the start of preseason, or less than 2 weeks before the start of preseason. Like, you have to have a defined roster and kind of roles and depth built out to even run out a preseason team. So I'm curious to see kind of what they do with this short amount of time and how they evaluate the guys.
Well, and like how long does it get tinkered with? Because it's not like even in seasons past where it's like most of your pieces are set and you're moving some smaller pieces around. Like this is a completely new team, and any semblance of a rotation, I mean, probably doesn't exist yet. And it's probably going to be a months long experiment, if not a season long experiment, because you can get away with that in a tanking season. So I think the thing I'm most curious about is really just to kind of see like what the vibe is like. What do the guys seem like? Are they excited about this year? Like, is some of the guys that were there in the past, like Hami or even like in SGA, you know, what do they feel about this upcoming season versus like some of the newer guys, you know, maybe don't have as much of that context. But then you also have guys like Horford and George Hill who've been around. Like, what are their feelings about Oklahoma City? Obviously, we won't get Horford's thoughts on that for a while, but it's just, it's an interesting dynamic of guys. It's a
very eclectic
group of players. And then
Island of Misfit Toys, because, you know, we're in Christmas season, right?
Yes. And then on top
plus
of that,
young guys,
a whole new coaching staff, which we can't forget either. So to see what Daigneault does with that and like what kind of system he wants to put in and how he approaches this, being that he does have such a strong player development background, it should be interesting.
Definitely. I was going to say there's two things that really fascinate me about camp coming up so quickly. Number one is, you guys have kind of touched on it already a little bit, Al Horford and Théo Maledon will not be part of Thunder camp until December 8th. They're going to miss the first week of camp. Now, I know the first couple of days are like individual workouts, and then they get to the on-court stuff.
Or 10th, right? Because a trade can't be announced until the 8th.
Exactly. So it's going to be interesting. Like, you assume Al Horford's going to be your starting center, but he's only going to get a week of camp before preseason starts, right? That's throwing him in the mix really late. And then Théo being a young guard coming from overseas, I think Teo's already in Oklahoma City and he's just waiting for the trade to become official. And then he's here and ready to go. But so that part is interesting to me. The other part is, ever since this team has been here, they've had their defined culture and their leadership. Right. It was Durant and Russell Westbrook. Then it evolved to just Russell Westbrook. And then Russ was gone. But Chris Paul really came in as like the ultimate leader. Right. Now with Chris gone, and let's say Horford doesn't get here till the 8th or the 9th, you know, you would think Horford would come in and just because of his veteranness. Is that even a word? Because he's a veteran. Leadership. He would just show up and be a leader. You got George Hill. But these guys are brand new to Oklahoma City. They've never been with this organization, with this culture.
They might not want to be here in a rebuilding culture.
They might not even want to be here and be waiting for their ticket out. Who steps into that leadership vacuum and assumes the role of the caretaker of the culture, assumes the role of, I'm the guy speaking up, I'm the guy holding people accountable, I'm the guy staying late and watching film and leading by example? Is that Hamidou Diallo, the longest tenured member of the Thunder? Is that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because he's becoming the face of the franchise?
So
is that Lou Dort because you don't talk back because he'll beat your ass? You know, like, who is it?
Don't forget Nick Collison, right? He was a constant through all that from the very beginning when Seattle, the franchise, moved to OKC here itself.
And Taylor, you mentioned, you know, new coaching staff. So it's not even like you have the old staff around. You don't have
that was just Cheeks. You just got us confused.
Oh, did just like it was that, I thought you said this the thing about
is that five pods in a row?
Yeah.
I think that's five pods.
We just need you guys just need to do the Dragon Ball Z fusion.
I'm the favorite. Let everybody know that on record.
So if we did mix you two together, would it be Jailer or Tustin?
I don't like either of those.
Nick, which one would it be?
Is this our fandom?
I like Jailer.
I like Jailer as well.
Jailer.
That's a good one. But I mean, yes, your coaching staff's even different. So it's not like you have the leadership there, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I think that's there's going to be a little bit of a reboot of the culture. It's going to be similar, right? Because it's you're bringing in guys like, for example, Dagnall that we talked a lot about already. You know, he's coming. He's already been groomed by the OKC organization, and Pressey is still at the head of the helm. So, you know, he that culture is still going to be implemented throughout. And I think we have a lot of young players, and you have a coach known for player development like Dagnall. I think that helps a lot there when it comes to setting that culture. But it is going to be important to have veterans as well who can help these guys. I mean, we've talked so much in the past or the past year about players, you know, being impacted by Chris Paul's leadership this past season. And so I think it'd be really nice to have Horford around, at least for up until the trade deadline, right, Jacob? And you know, to be able to have his influence and his professionalism around if he does, you know, decide to play with OKC and doesn't decide to set out and throw a fit, that he's going to be around here with a rebuilding team for the first however long of the season.
I do think from a culture standpoint, the thing the Thunder have going for them is that I've always felt like Sam Presti is the culture setter. Mm-hmm. Like it hasn't necessarily been a single player, a single coach. And that's why, you know, over the latter half of the last decade, as Kevin Durant left, as James Harden left, as Scott Brooks left, as those different pieces moved around, it felt like that culture for the most part stayed pretty consistent. And I think a lot of that comes from like the very top down with Sam Presti. So I think he's going to be pretty gung-ho about ensuring that, you know, stays the course. But I think in terms of like a vocal leader in the locker room, it feels like Shai should be the guy. It feels like Shai, that's a role that he could fill. Again, given that, you know, he was around last year, he was arguably somewhat of a leader on last year's team, and he can kind of carry the torch forward. But I also wouldn't rule out, you know, some of the other guys. Like I could see like a Bazley getting involved and taking on some of that role as well. It's going to be strange because it's going to be, you know, young guys leading young guys. That's a great point.
You know what, Justin, what just stood out to me when you were saying that is like, you know, I mentioned Chris Paul. Who were the guys that really Chris Paul kind of took under his wing?
Yeah.
The guys that you mentioned.
Shai and Baze.
And so maybe Presti is really, you know, during this rebuild, he's hoping probably for it to be an accelerated rebuild. But if you have guys like Shai and Bazley and Dort who are willing to take that leadership role so early on and guys are able to respond to that, especially after learning from Chris Paul for a year, I think that's a great point, Justin.
I think my only fear, you guys touched on Horford. I think, he'll bring a veteran presence. He just doesn't strike me as like a super vocal leader type of guy. Mm-hmm. That's not the stories necessarily that you hear about Al Horford. And then I think that not knowing, it'll be interesting to see how invested he is. I think we maybe got a little spoiled by Chris Paul. You know, coming into it, we were like, is he going to be 1 foot out the door? But like, he was all in. I would be shocked to see Al Horford be that all in with the Thunder this year.
Horford or George Hill. Maybe Trevor Ariza. Maybe Trevor Ariza is going to be the caretaker of the culture.
Jeez. Yeah.
I think that's why I was so important to have an internal hire.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, we joke about it, but Dagnall's been groomed for a decade to be the Thunder head coach, basically. Like he is, Presti got to do like create a coach, basically. And that's what he is. So anything that you want to talk about Presti and culture and whatever, like that's going to be baked into Dagnall. And that's going to be a core part of how he approaches the team.
I don't know. Presti said Dagnall. I got to stick to my guns here.
Okay, Taylor.
We got to wait to our first interview.
Well, yeah, we need that. Should be your question, Nick. How do you say your own name?
Freaking
right,
name.
Right. Well, no, that was a big thing on Twitter. As soon as that press conference opened up, everyone was like,
"Red Dawson quote-tweeted it immediately."
Yep.
He said Dagnall. Then Presti said Dagnall, and I've been confused ever since. You guys know how hard names are for me.
Yes, we
start
do.
Calling him Marky Mark.
Mr. Marcus, sir.
Coach Marky Mark.
Coach Marky Mark.
All right. Well, talking about, you know, who fills the leadership void on this team, there's also a massive basketball void on this team. I did some deep diving today. It wasn't really deep diving, but I got some stats I want to throw your guys' way, and I want to discuss where the team goes with these stats. Since 2 weeks ago, the Thunder have lost their second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and ninth top scorers. Again, that's number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 9 top scorers, all off the team. They have lost their first, third, fourth, fifth, ninth, and tenth top shot takers. Their first, third, fourth, and fifth top rebounders. And the number 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7 top assisters, or assistmen, as I like to call them. That's a lot of stats. To total that up for you, the Thunder have lost 80 points per game, 57 shots per game, 16 assists, and 30 rebounds per game.
Where in the hell
does all that go?
We always talk about this when we're like evaluating guys and the numbers that they put up on bad teams. And this is a perfect example. Like, somebody has to put up those stats, and it probably gets spread around quite a bit. But overall, like, you're going to see a lot of guys' numbers inflate a lot. And it's going to be exciting, especially when it's a guy like Shea. You know, he's going to get a lot of minutes. He's probably going to put up some big numbers compared to what he did last year. And it's going to look like he's taken a great jump. And I'm sure he will improve, but we also have to view it through that lens of, like, there's such a vacuum of these counting stats that somebody has to, like, somebody literally has to score points on this team. And it's going to come from a lot of guys that maybe, you know, on a contending team would not be putting up those kind of numbers.
I think that's fair. I heard that in a video, I haven't actually watched it, of Shea's trainer working him out. He was encouraging him by yelling 25 points a game, 25 points a game.
Yeah.
Shea averaged what? Nearly 20. He averaged 19 points a game last season. I think 25 for Shea is totally doable. That's picking up 6 points of that missing 80. You know, obviously we know guys like Al Horford will pick up some of that. If George Hill stays around for a little bit, he'll pick up some of that. But what are some of the players that you expect, at least for counting stats, to see a pretty significant jump?
My first bet, and this is just based off the bubble, right? But I have to go with Lu Dort. I think he's going to be one that has a lot of confidence, especially on the offensive end. He's just going to make a lot of things happen just because of his aggressiveness and the way he's able to attack the rim, but also go for rebounds. He's also going to try and create for others. I could see a bigger role for Dort, not necessarily that he's going to have a huge role moving forward with this organization, as much as I think they view him maybe as like a role player or a 3-and-D kind of type of player. But I could see him putting up a lot of jump shots, a lot of 3-point attempts. We'll probably see some more like 30-point games from Dort. That wouldn't shock me, but we're also going to see some, probably more likely than the latter that I just mentioned, we're going to see some games from Dort where he's shooting, you know, 2 of 18, just putting up a ton of jump shots, because that's just kind of his personality, his confidence. And to your point, Jacob, there's not going to be a lot of people who are going to be taking those shots outside of Shea. Now, there'll be some other people that you guys will probably mention, but I just see Dort being that kind of guy. Even if OKC doesn't necessarily want him to be the guy taking all those shots, this might be the year that we see Dort doing more of what he did in the bubble.
I was going to say, if Dort has the confidence to take that many threes on a team with Danilo Gallinari and Chris Paul, then right, he 100% is right, going to have the confidence next season.
Right. Being one of the oldest players on the roster at, yes, like, what, the ripe age of 19? I don't even know. Off the top of my head. Mm-hmm.
So from a pure scoring standpoint, it's so hard because a lot of the guys on this roster is looking down the list, like Admiral Schofield, Justin Jackson,
I'm trying to pull
Isaiah
up
Roby, TJ Leaf. Like, a lot of these guys don't have glamorous stats, but they've also never taken more than 3 to 5 shots per game in their career. Mm-hmm. So it's like Justin Jackson averaged like 5.5 points on 5 shots a game last year. Admiral Schofield averaged 3.1 points on like 3 attempts a game. If you start bumping that to 6, 7, 8 shots a game, like, these guys could start scoring 8 to 10 per night. Like, it'll naturally happen, but it's so hard because even per 36 stats don't make sense on a guy with that small of a sample size.
Right.
I'm going to stick to my guns here and die on this hill all year. I think the surprise player of the year for the Thunder, Admiral Schofield, is going to be someone we look back and say, how the hell did Sam Presti get him in that mid-second round trade for Vit in the 2020 draft. I think he's got the tools to be excellent in this type of system.
Nice. So let me throw a few out here for you guys. Let's start. Darius Bazley averaged 5.6 points per game last year. If I set the over under at 10.0 points per game this year, you going over or under?
Ooh, I go under.
I am too.
Just because that is the one like position, whether you play him at a three some of the time, four some of the time, five some of the time. Like, they've got a lot of guys that play those positions. You've got Ariza, you've got Jackson, Schofield, Leaf. They're going to try to get some burn, I'm sure. Muscala, Pokuševski, Horford. Like, that's just, it's pretty deep. Even if you want Bays to get a lot of time on the floor, like, I don't know. It's
yeah. I want him to get over 10 points a game. And I could see, I think there's going to be maybe a couple different games throughout the season, or a handful, I should say, where he has 20 plus. But I just still think the Thunder are probably going to start the season with George Hill and Al Horford. And if that's the case, I don't see Bays getting, you know, even if that's up until the trade deadline, I don't see him being able to average 10 plus a game. But if he does, I mean, I'm rooting for it. I think Bays is going to be fantastic. But
interesting. Justin, what do you think? Over or under on Bays, 10 points a game?
I'm taking over. And the reason I think over is, yeah, I think Nick has a great point. Taylor, as well, like, there are guys that will eat some of his minutes, but I think that you got to think about the I don't know, like, the purpose of this team now. Like, I think Bays is gonna get more attention. Bays, Shea, Dort,
more minutes,
those types of guys are gonna get more attention, more minutes. They're gonna be more of an emphasis. And so I think that you're gonna maybe see more of an emphasis on trying to get Bazley comfortable in taking some of that scoring load. And I think this is the perfect year to kind of start to do that for him as he develops. And so I feel like 10 points is attainable. It could be close because of those factors that you mentioned, but I just think that, like, those core three guys and then some of the rookies that were drafted this year are going to be the focus of, you know, the development process for this season.
So let me play devil's advocate here for a second. Cause I think
Nick playing devil's advocate.
There's a teeter totter here that I keep coming back to. As much as you want the young guys to get burned and develop, you're also trying to jack up the asset price for guys like Al Horford.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
He's a guy that he's only taken, like, the last 3 or 4 years of his career, like 12 shots a game. And he could definitely exceed that here in Oklahoma City if you give him the burn. So it's like, where's the line between increasing guys' trade value that are vets and getting your young guys on the floor and comfortable? And that's a really fine line. That's going to be a super interesting trend to watch all season.
That's fair, but I'm going to play devil, even though I agree with your original point, I'll play devil's advocate to your devil's advocate. So I don't even, what's that called? Is that just
Taylor's the double Satan is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what we call a devil's square dance.
The Antichrist.
Square dance.
Well, okay. You heard it here first, the Uncontested podcast, home of the Antichrist.
We just lost so many viewers and listeners. I really don't think OKC and the organization as a whole, Presti, again, we talked about Presti kind of setting the culture. I'm not so sure if they care about the trade value at this point, right? Because we already talked, I mean, look at this team now. They're acting over the cap because of all the trade exceptions and all the different exceptions, the mid-level exceptions, all the exceptions that they can use, they're technically over the cap, but they're or at one point they were under the salary floor. I guess they aren't any longer because the Trevor Ariza trade has been announced. But with that being said, like, you can still flip these guys. And Presti has so many damn assets. You know, I'm not really sure he's looking for, like, you know, a Chris Paul return for Al Horford. So I think the purpose of this entire season is going to be to tank, obviously, to try and get a high draft pick, that OKC's own high draft pick in this next draft class. When we talk about guys like Cade Cunningham and so many others, right? Was Boston, whatever, from Kentucky. I was watching him today. He's really impressive. There's so many fun guys in this draft class. I think the goal is to be focusing on that draft class while also developing your youth, like Justin was getting to, with guys like Bazley, even Lou, letting him take, like I talked about, all the different shots that he'll be taking this season, kind of see what he can produce. Obviously, SGA being the primary ball handler, that's going to be your focus compared to trying to increase the value, the trade value of guys like Al Horford and Trevor Ariza.
Definitely. I'm going to go over on Baze 10 points a game. Maybe this is going to be my hot take.
Over.
Okay. I'm going to say Baze is going to get I'd maybe go over on 12 points a game.
Yeah.
I think Baze is going to score a lot. Here's a few reasons why. I agree with what Taylor's saying, that I think they're going to value developing their young guys over just pumping up these vets with empty calorie stats to raise trade value. I think that Baze is just going to get more of an opportunity. And Bazley shot, I'm trying to find it here real quick, 43% from two-point land last season. My biggest criticism of Baze in his rookie season was he just didn't finish well at the rim. He would get there and just struggle to finish a lot. As a 6'9 wing who can get to the basket at will off the dribble, he's got a nice jab step. He's got long strides. I think he's going to score a lot. Actually, looking at Baze's stats from last year, 5.6 points, 4 rebounds, and 0.7 assists, I think all of those are going to jump. I could see him being a 12-6-2 guy this next season. That would not surprise me in the slightest. The other one I wanted to ask you guys about real quick before we move on to around the association. Same question, over under 10.0 points per game for Poku. For reference of last year's first round picks in the 2019 draft class, 12 of the 30 averaged over 10 points per game. Two of them did not play at all. So it's kind of 12 out of 28. So Nick, you're going under on 10 for Poku. Justin, what do you think?
I think I'm under too. I think there's just too many unknowns. I think this season will be a big season of adjustment for Poku. I don't think that adjustment will include scoring 10 points a game.
Taylor?
I have nothing else to add there. Believe it or not.
Well, then hit me with this. You guys hit me with a little bit tougher answer. When we look back on this podcast in mid-July, whenever the draft is happening.
This is our original Chris Paul trade podcast.
Yes, essentially, yes.
We know all of our takes are always dead on.
Yes. give me right now, what is Poku's single game scoring high this next season? Just shoot a number out.
I'm going to say 26. He's going to have one random night in the middle of February where he just goes nuts, and we're going to sell 100 Pokemon shirts, and the people are going to lose their minds, and then he'll never do it again for the rest of the season.
Exactly.
T-Berg in LA, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, Justin's going 26. What are the rest of you guys got?
I was
going
to go 21. I can see him just rattling off 4 threes and then just driving to the basket against in some garbage time, and he ends up 21 points.
It's going to be against Charlotte and a 5 p.m. tip.
Hey,
and
Charlotte's kind of good now. They have Gordon Hayward.
Charlotte's
kind of good now.
Charlotte's kinda been kind of good now for 25 years.
Which is Nick, why we number? Are tanking.
I'm going to go 17. As bad as this team is, I really don't think Presti's in any rush to give a guy like Poku even 25 minutes a game, which you would need probably to have a 26 point night. I'm not saying he doesn't have the skill to
26 minutes or 26 points in 12 minutes. Book it.
Hell yes.
12 minutes.
I'm going to go above Justin just because I'm feeling bold tonight. Poku's going to have a 30 piece this year, boys.
Oh my God.
Half the team's going to have COVID or be quarantined. He's going to be the only guy available to play over 6'1".
Harry Jones game. I like it. It's a Harry Jones game.
It's going to look like the Nuggets lineup in the bubble. I'll say low ball running point.
I'm gonna blanket statement here. I don't care which one of you guys are right on the number of points he scores. He will give up more points that night than he scores on his season high.
Boo! Who cares?
He's gonna have a night where he goes for 31 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 blocks.
Yes.
And then I'm going to do the post game. It's going to be the most downloaded podcast ever.
He'll get 26 points and he'll be a minus 23 on the night.
Yep.
Empty calories, man. Just whatever. Like Thanksgiving. Load them up, baby. Load them up.
I love it.
All right. Are you guys ready to go around the association?
Let's do it.
Always.
Awesome. Before we get there, though, let's take a quick moment. Tell our listeners about who's paying the bills this week.
2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Luckily, Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. 73% of online job seekers in the U.S. visit Indeed each month, according to ComScore total visits. So it's clear Indeed can help you get the quality hire you need. That's why more than 3 million businesses worldwide use Indeed for hiring. And right now, Indeed is offering listeners of The Uncontested a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try out Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
Football is back in full swing. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still bet in on all of the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all of these great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Gentlemen, time for the best sounder in all of podcasts.
I don't even know where you're sitting at. Like.
All righty, gentlemen. It seems as though free agency has finally dulled down. We're at the end. The Glenn Robinsons are now being signed. So we've reached the end of free agency. With camp starting this week, I figured we'd take a look around maybe what I thought were six pretty significant moments in free agency, or six significant teams in free agency. And we're going to play a game of like it, love it, or hate it. So I'm going to give one of you guys a statement. Then you're going to tell us whether you like it, you like what that team did, you love it, or you hate it. And you're going to give us an explanation why. And then the rest of us will shit on you and tell you how bad your opinion is before we move on to the next one. Luckily for those of you in the stream, those of you listening to the pod, and for my fellow co-hosts here, I have new sounders for yes. Like it, love it, hate it.
Here we go.
I'm so excited.
That you guys have not heard yet. So once I give you the statement and you tell me whether you like it, love it, or hate it, I'm going to play the new sounder, and yes. I'm really excited. Let's start with none other than Nick Crane.
Ooh.
Nick, like it, love it, or hate it, the Houston Rockets abandoning the pocket rocket movement by adding Christian Wood and Boogie Cousins.
Love It.
Oh, Love It. All right.
That team needed.
There you go. We love it.
That team needed a shakeup. Small ball, just as close as they got, just never worked out. I'm going to go out on the limb here and say, I know there's a lot of hypotheticals here. Christian Wood is small sample size. Boogie Cousins is always hurt. They have a chance to have the best center rotation in the entire NBA this season.
That seems like a hot take.
That's pretty spicy.
Give me a counter. Who would you say has a better on paper, in theory, center lineup?
76ers? Joel and Dwight?
I mean, we'll see.
Indiana? Indiana with Sabonis and Miles Turner?
Yeah, but they're both starters.
Okay. Who else?
I mean, Boogie Cousins when
Zion
when
and
healthy,
Steven Adams.
We Duh. Haven't seen Boogie Cousins healthy, and when he's healthy, that's why I'm saying in theory could be like, yeah, he was a 28-12 guy.
Yeah. Yeah. My question is though, if you're gonna have you're gonna have Boogie, Harden, and Westbrook on the same team, that team's gonna hemorrhage points.
That team, they're gonna average 7 technicals a game.
That is true.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
I do see where you're coming from, though, Nick. That team, we saw them just get their brains beat in by the Lakers in the postseason, and they needed size, and they didn't have it. I think losing Robert Covington is pretty significant for them. But those two bigs, it's going to be interesting because we all know that Russell Westbrook and James Harden are elite pick and roll players, and having those bigs are going to help. I think Westbrook's better with a pick and pop big, and maybe Boogie can do that for him. Going to be interesting, though.
If it works out like they want them to, I think it's going to be perfect. But I'm going to go with more of a like it. I like it. They're transitioning away from the small ball. I get why they did it originally. I just don't know if it's the right way to play, especially when you have, you know, the Lakers you have the Heat, you know, in the finals this past season. I don't think it was a fluke like a lot of people think, just due to the bubble. I think the versatile big is important. So, to Nick's point, we have guys like Christian Wood, and you have guys like Boogie Cousins. If he is indeed healthy, I think that's important. But I still just don't know if it's enough. There's just not enough flexibility on that roster. And when you have James Harden and Russell Westbrook, both wanting out, that's a huge issue.
No, I definitely think that is valid. So another team that has a good center rotation, Utah Jazz. Rudy Gobert, Derek Favors.
Yeah, that's good.
Forgot they signed Derek Favors.
That's a good point.
That's a good
Justin.
One.
Justin.
And Ed Davis, right?
Yeah. No, they traded Ed Davis.
He went to New York and not from New York. Gotcha.
Correct.
And then he got a middle team before New York. Off topic.
Oh, boy.
Continue.
Gotcha.
No, Justin, dude. You are next. Like it, love it, or hate it, the Milwaukee Bucks fighting to get Giannis to sign the extension by adding Drew Holiday, DJ Augustin, Bryn Forbes, Torrey Craig, and Bobby Portis.
I like it.
All right, you ready?
Oh, I like it like that. She worked
fabulous.
Oh, easy. Whoa.
Taylor, this is Periscope, not OnlyFans, buddy.
Yet.
However, subscribe to OnlyFans.com/uncontested.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Taylor _ P
/ only yeah only fans.
Hey, extra revenue. I'm not here to judge.
Whatever it takes.
I like it. I like these moves for Milwaukee. It's hard not to love the upgrade of adding Drew to that backcourt, but it's also kind of impossible not to evaluate these moves in light of what could have been, with Bogdanović and that fiasco. It's hard not to just like be wanting a little bit more in Milwaukee with Giannis, but I think the pieces that they did get after that fell through, I think it's solid. I think it's a good group. Do I think it's enough to dethrone the Lakers? Maybe not. Is it enough to keep Giannis happy and get him to sign an extension? Maybe.
I think that's fair. Yeah. The Bogdanović mess, I think rebounding from the Bogdanović mess was pretty impressive.
Yeah, they very easily could have just like imploded after that went down and just like thrown their hands in the air and, you know, overpaid somebody that had no business being on that team, but they still were able to kind of salvage it and make some smart moves. And so I think in the end, I think it's solid. I don't hate it, but because of the Bogdanovich mess, I don't love it either.
Those other pickups outside of Drew are not the sexiest names, but I will say those guys are very productive. Like,
right.
Torrey Craig is a humongous shooting guard that can allow you to put out some real length out there with Giannis and Middleton and some of these other guys.
DJ a great score.
Right. DJ Augustine's a solid point guard. Forbes has been a Spurs guy. You know, he's going to be productive. And then Bobby Portis
will punch the shit out of you.
Punches guys, got caught in New York, but like, he's a scoring machine. He will have many 20-point games this season off the bench.
Yeah. I'd like to see Bobby Portis fight Jake Paul.
Oh, yes. I'd like to see anybody fight Jake Paul.
Yes.
We haven't mentioned Nate Robinson yet. Good Lord.
The memes have been incredible. The memes have been absolutely incredible.
May he rest in peace.
Nick, you mentioned it. Did you guys see that Magic Johnson tweeted about that fight like 20 minutes ago?
An hour ago. Yeah, no? Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. So 24 hours. Right.
Fight oh, happened. Man. Magic Johnson.
I hope Nate is okay. Thanks, 24 Magic.
24 hours later. Oh, man. Magic Johnson. Nick, you mentioned Torrey Craig. I mean, in the playoffs, you can throw out a lineup of Drew Holiday, Torrey Craig, Chris Middleton, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Brooke Lopez. How the hell do you score on that team?
Can't.
I mean, that's a defensive juggernaut.
That's a good point.
And they're long.
Yes.
Outside of Drew, who's just a bulldog at the point, everybody's, 6'9 and bigger?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be an interesting team. Yep. Now can they just get Bud to play somebody more than 25 minutes a game in a playoff series?
That's their biggest
Giannis
weakness.
Posted this Instagram story that he's heading back to Milwaukee, obviously for training camp. So like, does he sign that extension?
You know, I have a feeling he will.
And if he does,
know.
Then
I just think he will. I hope he does. That'd be a huge win for small markets.
Right? This goes. I think all of us like it. It goes to we love it, and it's a grand slam offseason for them just doing that alone.
Bottom line, I don't care. We've talked about this. I don't care who the hell you sign if you're Milwaukee. You could sign me. If Giannis is re-signing with you, it's a win regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Although Giannis signing the extension so early kind of takes the pressure off of Milwaukee. Like, oh, now we've got Giannis locked up. We don't have to worry about going out and spending all this money and everything. There's a lot of leverage plays there. It's really fascinating. Taylor, you've got the next one.
There's a lot of leverage.
Yeah. Taylor, you got the next one. Like it, love it, or hate it. The Atlanta Hawks bailing on the rebuild to sign Gallo, Bogdanovich, Dunn, Rondo, Solomon Hill, and Tony Snell.
So this might be the most interesting on our list in terms of, like, if you look on paper, I love it. Also, a lot of, if you look at the players that were available in free agency and who the Atlanta Hawks were able to sign, I love it. They did a great job. But was that the right direction for their franchise? And I'm not entirely sure that's the case when you have Trae Young, who's so young, particularly as we have mentioned as OKC fans, with all these super stacked drafts coming up, at least the next 2 years, and we'll see beyond that. I'm not entirely sure that's the right direction for their franchise, but I also get that, you know, Trae Young comes in, has a great two seasons, and now he thinks he's a superstar, and he is an all-star, right? And therefore, he wants to compete for the playoffs at least, and then eventually compete for championships. He wasn't really. It doesn't seem like he was willing to wait for that entire rebuild, right? The bringing on the Cade Cunninghams and the Imani Bates and players of those natures in the next couple of drafts. So all those reasons, I'm going to go with like it. I like what they did because you have that
Shark
list.
Tank.
But
for that reason,
for that reason,
I'm out.
I get to play the like it sounder again. Here we go.
We don't have a hate it yet.
I just like that in a game called like it, love it, or hate it. Nick and I said like it and love it right off the bat, and Taylor said, well, back in 1994 when first time I saw basketball. And
all right,
if you go back to the peach basket,
Dr. James Naismith.
I get to get in my soapbox here for a second.
Yes.
I don't like what the Atlanta Hawks did.
Would you say you hate it?
You want me to play the hate it sounder?
I do. I'm dying.
I hate it.
And I hate everything.
Do you guys know what that's from?
Yes. Ronald Swanson.
It's Ronald Swanson. Here it goes again.
Arson Wreck.
And I hate everything.
Is that when he like runs off
yeah.
into the field?
Yeah. Whenever he, after he ate all the bacon that that Leslie brought out to the camp.
So good.
Okay, Atlanta won free agency. In a free agent class that all of us said was the weakest free agent class in a while, a free agent class that sucked. Awesome. You've got Gallo. You've got Bogdanovich. You've got Rondo. You've got Dunn. Most of those guys are old. Like, I think besides Dunn, Bogdanovich is 28. The other two are in their 30s, right? So the timeline doesn't match up. What does that do for Atlanta? Makes them competing for the seventh seed this year?
I think it's more about, I think Trey put some pressure on that front office.
I definitely think so too. If I'm, maybe this is a hot take as well. I'm just full of them tonight. I'd tell Trey to shut the hell up. You're under contract.
Yes, you're on a rookie contract.
You're restricted free agency rights. We're playing the long game here. Trust all want to make the playoffs. Yes. But now you're going to be playing Gallo and Rondo. And you're not going to be playing guys like Cam Reddish or DeAndre Hunter as much. Like,
that's an issue.
Let the young guys grow and learn, get another good draft pick in 2021, and then really take off and have a runway of the next 10 years rather than limiting yourself with Danilo Gallinari for what, $17 million, $18 million, whatever, $20 million a year.
And limiting yourself
with Rondo, with Bogdanovich. Bogdanovich is a good player. But how does this change your ceiling? It speeds your ceiling up, but it doesn't raise your ceiling. You're maxing out at like a seven seed.
It raises you. And we talk about this with players all the time. It raises your floor up. But Jacob, to your point, I don't think it really raises your ceiling.
Exactly.
This is the challenge with rebuilds, is there's so many opportunities to jump ship. And if you do it early, then the whole process has been wasted. And I think
Philly,
I think
even jumped ship early.
Right. Which is what I was going to say, is like the irony is that like Philly had trust the process, which I think was so smart, honestly, to like have that as a rallying cry, something that you could point back to when, you know, you lost again by 47 points in the middle of February and everything sucks and you hate it. Like, trust the process can be something you can point back to. Like, something like that is necessary, or else somebody somewhere within the organization is going to get disgruntled. And if that happens, then you're at risk of screwing it all up, whether that's a star player, whether that's a coach, whether that's somebody in management, whether that's an owner, whether it's fan outcome.
Owner is key there.
Any of those pieces can derail a rebuild. And that, like, from OKC's perspective, that's going to be the biggest thing for them, is like that culture that they always hang their hat on can't just be a team thing for the next few years. It's got to be a top to bottom organization, ownership, and the fans are going to have to buy into it a little bit. Like,
true.
I'm already talking to people. I was talking to some people, you know, over this last week that are like already pissed about this upcoming season, like already out, like not interested because of like trading Steven Adams and all that stuff. And I'm like, you guys don't even know what you're jumping ship from. Like, it's going to be worse than you think it's going to be, but that is the process. And if you want to be a team that has a chance to win a title, that's the process you've got to follow, unless you're a big market team like LA. But for somebody like Oklahoma City, or I would argue even Atlanta right now, like, you've got to be patient. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Jacob, of like, yeah, maybe they're the seventh seed, sixth seed, maybe, but like, that's not what you want. That's not the goal. The goal is not to be a bottom tier playoff team. The goal is to win a championship. And I don't think the moves that they made got them any closer.
I think that's the counterpoint to people 100% who are like, with you. What about Shea? It's like, well, who cares? To your point, Jacob.
You have his restricted free agency rights. Bingo. I want out.
And you have his bird rights.
You're not Anthony Davis. You're not LeBron James. You're not Giannis Antetokounmpo. We're gonna match the restricted free agent offer sheet. We're moving forward.
Also, right. I mean, I love Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. I like him a lot. But if I have to trade him for, like, let's say Cade Cunningham and Amani Bates, one of the two develop into, like, people are saying they're the next LeBron James, I probably trade Shea for one of those players. So it is what it is.
Here's the thing, though, is I've heard a lot of people talking about that. And maybe it's just a personal thing that I'm not a big gambler. I'm not willing to trade Shea in like two future firsts to move up to number one to get Cade when you don't know what Cade's going to end up being. I think Cade's going to be incredible, but you've already got your number two. Don't
you know what?
Don't risk your number two to try to get your number one and then miss out on a number one and a number two, you know?
And I'm just like, I'm a little more aggressive right now because Presti has such a huge parachute to fall back on because of all those drop picks. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to take more gambles right now, I think, than a lot of Thunder fans maybe.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, let's move on. Nick, you got the next one. Like it, love it, or hate it. Golden State Warriors with the Klay Thompson injury, still pushing all in, paying $60-plus million in tax dollars to bring in one Kelly Oubre Jr.
Like it. I can't can't say I hate it because Warriors fans have extremely high expectations. I think the front office had high expectations. The Warriors were back. It was their year. They were likely going to bring in Oubre anyways, but you got to look at it this way. You either bring in Oubre and you're probably middle of the pack in the West at best. Like, I don't think any of us think the Warriors are contenders anymore. But if you don't bring in Oubre and just run the roster that you have without him, like, what's the point? You know, Steph Curry's only getting a year older. Draymond Green's only getting a year older. You might as well make a run at it. A lot of crazy things can happen throughout a season. They can make additional moves. Like, it's a step towards the right direction and getting better and recovering that production that Klay lost. So I can't say I hate it because I don't see a better option out there. You're giving up a, at worst, 20 to 30 first round pick to get him. And at the end of the day, the owner has a crap ton of money. Like, that's, I'm not worried about his money, to be honest with you. Warriors fans aren't worried about his money. But I also don't love it because, again, they're not going to be a top three seed like we thought they could be. So it's just kind of a middle ground.
No, I'm definitely with you. They, even with the loss of Klay, this roster isn't bad. I mean, you're probably starting Steph, Kelly Oubre, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, and do they start James Wiseman? I think they probably do.
Probably do.
And then off your bench, you have guys like Damian Lee, who was good last year. We'll see if he's good whenever games actually matter. Kent Bazemore was a good pickup. You got Kevon Looney.
Eric Paschal.
Yeah, Eric Paschal was really good. Brad Wanamaker was really good for Boston last year. It's not an awful team, even with the loss of Klay. Obviously, Klay drops your ceiling significantly. But speaking of Golden State, I want to ask you guys real quick. Oklahoma City gets the Golden State pick if it lands 21 through 30.
Ooh.
Are they going to get it? Is Golden State going to be one of the top 10 teams in the league this year?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think it's going to be close. So
I think it's going to be just like Oklahoma City this last season with their...
That's what I think. Yeah. I was actually thinking just about that, Nick. As Oklahoma City landed at 21 and lost their pick, I could see... Is Oklahoma City last year going to be the same type of win-loss team that Golden State will be this coming year? I think it's going to be close.
And it's crazy because if you put last season's Oklahoma City team against this upcoming season's Golden State team, I'd say Golden State team is a heck of a lot better. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. It's just how the cookie crumbles, and that just goes to, not to talk about last year's team, but they just played so damn well together.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, next one. We got two more. One more for Justin, one more for Taylor. Justin. Like it, love it, or hate it. The Knicks not really doing anything.
I mean, the Knicks curse is still very well alive, as we saw last night when Nick Robinson came out in Knicks colors. Let's make it very, very clear. Knicks are still the Knicks.
Mm. Well, man, this is a tough one to answer. I love Knicks pain. I love Knicks fans' pain.
Do you love the New York Knicks pain or Nick Crane's pain?
Oh, whoa, we're talking about New York. Sorry, my bad. I love watching this franchise squirm. That said, from a purely basketball perspective, I actually like it.
A lot of genuine on the podcast tonight, guys.
The reason I like it is because this season, I shouldn't say this offseason. Every offseason is an opportunity for the Knicks to overpay somebody that they shouldn't pay. And the fact that they didn't do that, I think is like a small victory for them.
Definitely.
As a franchise.
Definitely. I 100% agree with that.
Yep. Taking another bet on the process, like we talked about, Keeping the course with those young guys, bringing in a couple pieces like Nerlens Noel, Austin Rivers, who are good pieces. They're probably not going to make the Knicks make any big jumps. But I think the fact that we talked about, like, this wasn't a great free agent class. And anytime that's the case, the Knicks are liable to just like toss all their money at somebody who doesn't deserve that kind of a contract. So I think them showing a little bit of restraint is a good sign for the Knicks.
Like, I kind of thought they'd go after the whole try to be the third team in the Gordon Hayward trade.
Yeah.
It's almost impressive that they didn't.
The Knicks that took on – yeah, the Knicks took on Ed Davis for like a second-round pick. I think they acquired 3 second-round picks.
I was thinking Ed Davis could be – that's – yeah, you're exactly
small
right.
moves that are good for a rebuilding team. Mm-hmm. The Knicks need to do that kind of stuff because they suck.
Yep.
That, all right,
that,
Taylor.
That sums it
but
up.
But to Niner by Nature 88's points, the Knicks fans are already getting their eyes set on Cade Cunningham. We need
Shocker.
To tell them back off.
Hands
back
off.
Off. He's ours.
Hands Fade off. For Cade. Fade for Cade is our intellectual property.
Yeah. That's right.
Knicks 100%. Fans can leave it alone.
Shirt's coming soon. Sure. Taylor, last one is yours. Like it, love it, or hate it. The LA Clippers adding Serge Ibaka, Nick Batum, Luke Kennard. I was searching for his first name there. Luke Kennard. Still don't have a point guard though. Like it, love it, or hate it.
You know what? We haven't had very many hate it's. If this was at the beginning of the podcast, I probably would have said like it, but I'm gonna go hate it.
And I hate everything.
Yes.
A great sounder, by the way, Jacob.
Thank you. I work hard.
When you have the Lakers who are making upgrades like they have, and the biggest upgrade you're making is Serge Ibaka over Montrezl Harrell, that's not going to get the job done. As particularly when you have guys like Chris Ball, when you have Paul George, who we know as Thunder fans, pretty unreliable, particularly this past season with LA. Kawhi obviously is a top-notch player, but how many games is he going to play this coming regular season? They don't have a ton of depth, even though I know that the Clippers fans I follow on Twitter claim that they do. I'm not convinced. I'm not sure they've made a huge upgrade from this past season. And when the Lakers have improved as much as they have, I think this is a loss. I kind of hate it for LA Clippers, although there's all these rumors. They aren't done yet.
Hey, a loss for the LA Clippers is a win for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Which is kind of what I'm rooting for. So maybe I'm a little biased.
Where do they go get a point guard from? You know, I don't think running Pat Bev back as your point guard again.
One George Hill, Jacob.
Yes. But are the Thunder even interested in trying to help out the Clippers by giving them a player that could help them? You know, I don't think so. But there are other point guards out there.
I think one key thing in this analysis here is that we're comparing the Clippers team now to the Clippers team they ran in the playoffs, which included Reggie Jackson and Marcus Morris from the buyout market. Like, if you look at their team today versus their team before the buyout market, I think it's fairly even. So if they can have another outstanding buyout and get a point guard and get another bench score, like, I think they're right about where they were last season, which is better than they finished, and they should not have lost as early as they did. But as of now, you could call it a step back.
I mean, you also have Ty Lue, right? Yeah, you just so much instability in that organization. They just don't have that continuity, that they don't have that stability, really, that the Lakers have. And I think that's just like another huge, huge disadvantage they have compared to the Lakers.
Yeah,
I just think with the Clippers as a whole, with it boils down to PG for me, and maybe this is just like as a scorned Thunder fan coming through here, but like, fool me once, shame on me,
right?
Fool me twice. Like, at some point we've got to see it from PG. Like, he's put up some great regular seasons for a long time now, but it's been a long time since we've seen playoff P. Since we've seen him show up when the lights shine, right? Since the lights shine the brightest. Like, he had those days where he's going toe-to-toe with Braun, and you're like, this dude's incredible. Like, he could be, you know, a real problem in the East. We haven't seen that dude.
Then we saw, like, MVP Paul George in OKC during the regular
season. For like a month and a half.
And right? then he
and that's the problem.
A couple times, and right.
That's the problem. For me to take the Clippers – seriously as a contender. I just can't do it till the playoffs show up. Like, they could come out and rattle off 72 wins. No, actually, no, because next season, 72 games. 72-0, I'd be a believer.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
62 wins. They could rattle off 62 wins, and I still don't think I'd bet on them to win a title, because you just, no matter what they do in the regular season, I've got to see it in the playoffs. They need to come out looking like hungry, like somebody who wants to go win a championship for me to take the Clippers seriously. And I don't know that anybody that they added, you know, changes that outcome. But to be fair to them, I'm not sure anybody they could have added really would have changed my thoughts on that either.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're looking across the locker room at the Lakers and just getting lapped.
Yeah. Right.
You know, just getting absolutely lapped. And so I think that makes a huge difference as well. Although I do have to say, as messed up as it maybe sounds, brings a small amount of joy to my heart that Reggie Jackson's still not on an NBA team right now.
Tears of joy.
Tears. Hashtag tears of joy.
Sign my guy Shaq Harrison before Reggie Jackson.
Yes.
I've been texting with him a little bit. He's ready to go.
I like it.
He needs to get picked up.
Sources tell me Shaq Harrison. Ready to go.
All right. That's all the like it, love it, and hate it that I have for you guys. I do got to say, though, this segment, I love it. And I love it. Yeah. And I love it. All right, guys.
Well done.
Before we get out of here, the next time we'll podcast, the Thunder will be in training camp. Any big thoughts, hot takes, anything before we leave and don't come back until basketball is technically underway again?
I think Théo Maledon is going to get many more playing time, much more playing time than many people think. I think he might be the backup point guard for Shea.
Get your Admiral Schofield teased while you still can.
before they're sold out. I think the first time we see Poku in a Thunder practice jersey, just from a physical stature standpoint, Thunder Twitter is going to implode.
Muscle watch.
He's not that skinny.
Okay, I feel like I got to fire one off here too, since everyone else did. Here we go. You ready? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for the 2020-21 season. 28.75.
Woo! Oh, he's making an all-star team, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Better.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys. Hey, thank you so much for checking out The Young Contested. If you were in the live stream tonight, man, we had a blast with you. Please come back next week every Sunday, 9 p.m. Central Time, as long as Taylor gets the link out on time. We will be here. We will be back with you guys Wednesday, late Wednesday night. You have the podcast ready Thursday morning in your podcast feed. So make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. That way it downloads right to your device. Drop a 5-star rating while you're at it. That would mean a ton to us. Helps more people see the podcast. You guys have been awesome. We appreciate the hell out of you. Thank you so much for rolling with us during this crazy offseason. And we are here every step of the way through training camp, preseason, and basketball is almost back. You guys have a good start of your week. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Wear your mask. We will see you soon. Thunder up.
Boom.
Good stuff, guys.
Oh.